Good morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Dwayne McKinney, and welcome to Encounter Life Church. I am so excited that you joined us this morning on our online worship experience. If this is your first time with us, welcome once again. And what we'd like to do, we'd like to connect with you. So if you could do me a favor, if you're at home or in your car, well, if you're in your car, don't do it while you're driving, but wherever you are, if you got your mobile device, take it out, and I want you to send the message, and the message I want you to send is the word new. To this phone number. It's 301-804-2520. Again, text the word new, N-E-W, to 301-804-2520. We just want to thank you for joining us. Maybe keep you up to date with some of the things as a guest that we have going on here at Encounter Life Church. Some of you who've been watching online, I'm excited that a week ago we just started our Striving to Grow discipleship class here at Encounter Life Church. It meets every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoom. If you're interested and you want to find out about that class, or if you want to register for that class and be a part of that class, all you have to do is go to our website, encounterchurch.net/gym. Encounterchurch.net/gym. Why do you say, Pastor Dwayne, why is it called gym? That's our spiritual growth track. We call it the gym, and it's designed to GYM, get you moving in your walk with God. So if you want to be a part of that class, encounterchurch.net/gym, and you could click to sign up for the grow class that's taught by our brother Damon Prather every Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. For the first four Saturdays in the month of October. So if you missed your first one, don't worry. It was recorded. You can get the information, get the notes, so you can jump right in for the next couple. If you missed the first two classes, you can get right in. So that's some of the stuff that we have going on. We're excited about what God is doing. We're looking forward. Man, I miss y'all. I miss seeing faces. And so what we've been doing, some of you have been following us online, but those of you who have had the courage to venture out, we've also been doing drive-in worship services here at Encounter Life on Sunday mornings at 10. We're online at 9. We're back online again at 11. And in between there at 10 a.m. for an hour, we're right out here on the campus, 2200 Colbert Drive, Temple Hills, Maryland, 2200 Colbert Drive, Temple Hills, Maryland. We're right outside, and we social distance. Again, if you want to say, look, I online church is cool, but I miss that human touch. You know, what we've been doing, weather permitting, as long as the weather allows, what we've been doing this month and part of last month is we go right out on that parking lot, right on the facility. You pull up in your car. You can roll down your window. You can bring out your lawn chair and just sit outside of your car, distance from everybody, and just experience the worship and go in as we lift up the name of our God and King and be encouraged by the word of God. So if you want to be a part of that on Sundays at 10, you're welcome to do so. As long as it's not raining, we'll be out there. So all of you who've joined us there, we're glad to have you. And we look forward to God doing some great things in your life as a result of the word. This month, we just started last week our series called Breakthrough, Stories of Radical Change. And I tell you, you know, in 2020, we all need a breakthrough. I don't know about you, but all of us after 2020 are in need of a breakthrough. I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready for some radical change. And you might need a radical change in your life, in your finances, in your marriage, in your relationships. I don't know, in your health, whatever it is, you may be an area that you're in need of change. And I'm telling you, the only one who brings about that change, the one who brings about lasting change is God. And that's through a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. And what we come to find out, that's why we are called Encounter Life Church, because we believe that if anyone encounters God's presence, they'll discover their purpose and then experience his power to bring change in their life. And so last week we started our series on breakthrough by looking at this woman who came to Jesus and anointed his feet, anointed his head with expensive perfume. The Bible calls her an immoral woman. It doesn't even really give us her name. It's just said that, you know what, she pushed past all the people. She pushed past what people thought about her reputation, to get to the master so that she could experience breakthrough. And he spoke peace into her life, spoke breakthrough into her life. Why? Because she was willing to boldly pursue him no matter what anybody else said. And that's what you got to do. If you want to have a breakthrough in your life, it starts with you making a bold pursuit. It's a desperation. It means that she looked for Jesus. She heard that Jesus was in this place at this banquet, And she knowing that she had a bad reputation in the community, said, I don't care what anybody else says. I'm so desperate for change. I'm going to push past all of that to get to the feet of the master. That's what you got to do. If you want a breakthrough, you got to boldly pursue him. But not only do you have to boldly pursue him, but you got to bring your best to him. When you get there, you got to give of your best to the master. You know, some people aren't experiencing breakthrough in their lives right now is because there's some stuff in your life that you're trying to hold back from God. You know, we have things that are precious to us. And, you know, the Bible refers to them as idols. Anything that I, you know, elevate on the level of God, anything that I'm willing to hold on to in front of my relationship with God, you know, it's an idol. And but if you want a breakthrough in your life, you got to let those idols go. People, places, things. I don't know what it is. You got to let some things go. What is that you're holding on to in your life that is keeping you from experiencing the breakthrough that God wants for you? Like I said last week, you know what? As long as you got a clenched fist, God can't put nothing in your hand. So you got to let it go. You got to be willing to do that. You got to boldly pursue him. You got to bring your best to him. Then you got to bow down before him. Got to bow down at his feet. That's right. You got to bow down at his feet and say, God, look, I surrender it all. I'm not only giving you all my stuff, but it's a sign of humility that, God, you're right about everything. Then you got to be broken. She broke that alabaster box. She broke that jar open and poured out that perfume. And you got to do that. You got to be willing to be broken. It's a broken and contrite heart, God says, he will not despise. It's about repentance. It's about not just regret for what I've done in my past, but about repentance. And then once you've done that, you know what? You got to be willing to bless them beyond what's ordinary. That's what we talked about last week. I hope you were blessed and encouraged by that. But today we're going to keep pushing. We're going to keep pushing on stories of breakthrough. And today we're coming in the book of John, chapter 21. We're going to look at somebody else who needed a breakthrough. And today we're coming from a topic that says, you know what? Your failure is never final. Your failure is never final. You know, I was listening to the story of Abraham Lincoln, and many of you may have heard this illustration. Abraham Lincoln, we know him as people know him as the president of the United States, but before he was president, you know, he had a whole lot of failures. He messed up a whole lot of times. But what he didn't, it was a show of his perseverance. All the things he failed in life never allowed him to quit. And I'm here to tell you that sometimes in life, you're going to drop the ball. You're going to mess up. And the Bible, I love the Bible. I love the God's word because it's full of illustration. It's full of examples of people in God's word who started and failed, but to show the God's grace and his mercy and his love and forgiveness, and he's able to restore you and still use you. He's got plans for you. And I wanted you to know right now where you are. You may have started good in your walk with God, and you may have dropped the ball somewhere, but God's not through with you yet. Your failure is never final. And today we're going to look at somebody who failed, who started good, who had good intentions, but he dropped the ball. And to show how God, how Jesus was able to restore him and recommission him back to what he planned for him all along. So can we, before we get to that in John 21, can we all pray together? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I pray, Lord God, for somebody under the sound of my voice who's watching us right now, who, Lord God, has said in their relationship with you, they started strong, but they dropped the ball somewhere. I don't know where it is. And they've experienced failure. I pray that today you'll encourage their heart. Let them know you're not through with them yet and that they can experience breakthrough and walk in the purpose and plan that you have designed for their life. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. Encourage us right now for somebody, God, who is now stuck in a rut. Let them experience your breakthrough. We praise you. We honor you in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for being patient with us. We thank you for being long-suffering. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at, in our Bible in John chapter 21. If you got your Bible, if you got your tablet or whatever, we're going to look at the story of Peter. Peter was one of the disciples. He's one of the greatest disciples and one of the most famous disciples. And Peter was a guy who dropped the ball. And we're going to look here in John chapter 21. Before we get to John chapter 21, I want to just kind of give us a little context. So we're going to flip back a little bit and we're going to go to the book of Luke. And I want to look in the book of Luke chapter 22 and look at Peter. See, Peter was one of Jesus' disciples, but he was really impulsive. Peter was one of the ones to say, Jesus, I'm your ride or die. No matter what happens, Jesus, I'm your man. I don't care. You know what? I don't care who comes. You listen, nobody is going to come between me and you. I will fight for you. Peter is the one who was able, who cut off somebody's ear who came at Jesus. Peter told Jesus, Jesus, I'm willing to die for you. And if you can find it right here in Luke chapter 22, I want you to look at verse 31 in Luke chapter 22. Peter, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison with you, even to die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you're going to deny three times that you even know me. You know, sometimes in our walk with God, Peter was committed. He was all in. He said, listen, Jesus, I'm your ride or die. I'm not only willing to go to prison, I'm willing to die for you. There's nothing going to come between us. And Jesus knew. That's because Jesus, he's the God man. He knows what's inside of us. He said, Peter, I appreciate it, but you ain't ready yet. You don't have what you need to stand yet. See, it was before the Holy Spirit had come. And so Peter didn't have inside of him what he needed to stand like that. And so Jesus said, listen, your intentions are good, but Peter, dog, you're going to deny three times that you know me before the even cock even crows. And so what ended up happening, if you go down in Luke chapter 22, go down to verse 54. So what happened is when Jesus got arrested, they led him to the high priest's home, and Peter followed at a distance. And then the guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter joined them. Then this little servant girl noticed him in the firelight, and she began staring at him and said, man, I recognize him. And she said, this man was with Jesus. He was one of Jesus' followers. But Peter said, who, me? Peter denied it and said, woman, he said, I don't even know this guy. Verse 58 said, after a while, someone else looked at him and said, you must be one of them too. You must be one of them. And Peter said, no, man, I'm not. Verse 59, he had another opportunity. An hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them because he's a Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And what happened is it says in verse 61, at that moment, Jesus turned and looked at Peter, and the Lord's words that he said to Peter, that Peter would deny him before the cock even crowed, it hit Peter, and it said, Peter left the courtyard and he wept bitterly. He said, Jesus, I had promised the Savior that I was going to stand with him and for him. And when I got the opportunity, I failed. When I got the opportunity to take a stand for him, I dropped the ball. And today, I don't know where you are. You might be saying, listen, I committed my life to Christ, and I told him that I was going to be your ride or die, Christ Jesus. I said I was going to live for you, and I was going to do what you called me to do. But there's some area in your life when you had an opportunity to stand that you failed. And you might be stuck right now where you are because you may have fallen and you may have failed so bad that you say, man, God, how can you even use me? Yes, he saved me. He called me, but I blew it. I failed him. I fell short of his glory. I disappointed him. I promised him I was going to do this. I promised him that I was going to serve him. I promised him that I would be doing this ministry. I promised that I would I'd be faithful wife or husband. And when I had an opportunity to stand for him, I didn't do what I said I was going to do. I didn't honor my commitment to him. And now you're feeling like a failure. I'm here to tell you, your failure is not final. Because what Jesus did, I love what Jesus did. When Jesus, he went to the cross, he died, he paid the price. But we all know, we know what happened. The grave couldn't hold him. He rose from the grave. And then at the end of John, the book of John, I love it. In John chapter 21, our text for the day, I want to see what happened and how Peter was restored, how Peter found out his failure was not final if we look in the book of John. It says, John chapter 21, later Jesus appeared again to the disciples. This is after he had risen from the dead. They appeared to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. And this is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, who's nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did, and they couldn't haul it in because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work. And then he jumped into the water and headed to the shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from the shore. And when they got there, they found breakfast for them. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. It's nothing like fish and grits in the morning. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him who you are. They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. And after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. And a third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time, and he said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. If you want your failures never to be final, there's 3 points that I want to give us today, and I'll be out of your way. Number one, I want you to do this. Refuse to let your failure lead to a fallback. Refuse to let your failure lead to a fallback. What do I mean? Remember your purpose. Remember your purpose. Listen, if you look at this passage right now in John chapter 21, Peter and the disciples were out there, and what were they doing? They were fishing. Yeah, they were fishing for fish. And you said, Pastor Dwayne, what do you mean to refuse to let your failures lead to a fallback? You know, sometimes when you drop the ball and you feel so bad, God could have had a call on your life and said, listen, this is what I've called and planned for you to do. And when you jumped out there, you weren't able to stand. You weren't able to meet the demand. You fail. You just dropped the ball. And you know what? You can be tempted to fall back into what you're used to. Where do we find Peter and these other 6 disciples? We find them exactly where Jesus found them. If you look at Luke chapter 5, when they were first called in Luke chapter 5, Jesus found these guys, and what were they doing? Fishing. I love it. What happened is Jesus had died. Peter failed him. And now what he had, and if you look in Luke chapter 5, Jesus had called the disciples and said, now I want you to leave what you're doing. I want you to become fishers of men. And in Luke chapter 5, it says they dropped everything and followed Jesus. And now the master had gone. He died. The one that they were looking to, he was gone. And Peter had failed him. And what do? Do they continue the master's mission? No, they go back to what they were used to. They went back to where they were comfortable. And I'm here to tell you, sometimes your failures will cause you to just step back into what you're comfortable. And that's not what God's calling you to do. When you fail, it's not the time for you to go backwards. Listen, every loss is a lesson. When you fail, you got to fall forward. I love it. John Maxwell has a book called Failing Forward. You use your failures as a springboard into the next thing to step into your purpose. You got to remember your purpose. Remember what God has called you to at the very beginning. Peter, I believe Peter had lost sight of what God's call was on his life. It was right there when he was fishing. Jesus meets them right there at the water, right where he met him the first time. And they were doing just what they were doing when Jesus first met them. And you look, and Jesus says to them in Luke chapter 5, he's told Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, verse 10 and 11, as soon as they landed in Luke 5, he says they left everything to follow Jesus. You know, I believe that call was, he was calling them to a whole new mission. He said, now listen, I got a new call on your life. This is what you're used to, fishing for fish. But now I want you to be seeking people and bringing people to me. But it looked like the Savior was gone. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe we misread him. Maybe we didn't. And I failed him big time. I didn't stand for him when I said I was going to stand for him. And Peter, in all of his dejection and defeat, he goes right back to the boat. You know what you notice about this passage? It says the past, and we look at Luke and in John 21, they fished all night, and guess what? They hadn't caught anything. I'm here to tell you, when you allow your failures to lead you to a fallback, and you go back to what you're used to and not what God has called you to, you're not going to be successful. See, it's unproductive. Sometimes you get to just spin in your wheels. They went back to what they were used to, not what God had called them to. And were they catching anything? They weren't even catching anything. That's what some of you right now, there's somebody listening to me right now, you failed, you dropped it, you stepped out there in a ministry, you stepped out there maybe in a business, you stepped out there in some area and said, God, I know you've called me to this. I know you've called me to start this business. I know you've called me to start this ministry. And when you make your first step, it just crashed. Is God telling you to go back what you were used to, go back to that job? Is he telling you to go back to sitting in that pew and say, I don't want to try that anymore? Mm-mm. He said, it's a lesson. Every loss is a lesson. I got something I'm trying to teach you in it. Because if you go backwards, guess what? You go backwards, you get stuck. And the disciples got stuck. And I want you to see something. If when we look at our passage in chapter 21, look at it. It says, Jesus had appeared to them. What Peter had done, Peter in verse 3, Peter said, I'm going fishing. And the other disciples, there were six others who said, we'll come too, they all said. I'm here to tell you, when you allow yourself to fall back, God is calling you to be a leader. There's people who are following you. And when you get lost and when you lose sight of what your purpose is, you know what? You can lead other people to get stuck in that same rut you're in. So you got to you don't recognize sometimes how many people are following and looking at you. And just because you failed, just because you dropped it, your failure is not final. You got to keep pushing on in the purpose that God's called you to. Peter settled. He settled, said, you know, I'm going to go back to what I'm used to. And the other disciples said, well, I guess we might as well do the same thing. My question to you is, who are you leading in the wrong direction? Is there somebody, have you settled? Have God, you heard that call, clear call on your life. And when you get that clear call on your life, there are people who are following you who will be propelled into their purpose. But because you say, I'm scared, or because I feel like I'm a disappointment to God, or that I failed him, and that you go back to what you're used to, you know what? You may be holding somebody else back as well. You got to remember, this is number one, you got to refuse to let your failures lead to a fallback. That's number one. But the second thing we learn from Peter, not only do you have to refuse to let your failures lead to a fallback, number two, you got to receive the refreshment of Christ's restoration and forgiveness. If you want to experience breakthrough right now after a failure, you got to receive the refreshment of Christ's forgiveness and restoration. Look at verse 9 in our chapter, chapter 21. It says, when they got there, I love it, Jesus calls to them, and they recognize it's the master. And what does Peter do? You know, Peter is character. Everybody you see experiences a breakthrough have a characteristic. Last week, we looked at the woman who was the immoral woman. What does she do? She boldly ran after Jesus. We're going to look at Peter, who experiences a breakthrough today. What does he do? When he recognizes the master's calling, what does he do? He jumps in the water, puts his clothes on, jumps in the water, and doesn't wait for the boat. He swims to the master. Everybody who experiences that breakthrough, they know that breakthrough comes from running into his presence. And here, what does he do? What verse 10, Jesus tells them, bring some of the fish you've caught. So Simon went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. See, if you want to experience breakthrough, you got to receive the refreshment of Christ's restoration and forgiveness. Peter had failed. But the thing about it, I always tell people, it's hard to disappoint a God who already knows everything. See, Jesus had already told Peter, you're going to drop it. He knew already. But Peter was mired down with that guilt. And what Jesus did in receiving Peter and inviting Peter to come and dine with me, he will prepare a table before me. Peter, yes, I know you messed up, but I'm telling you, I'm inviting you. I still want a fellowship with you. He's calling Peter into fellowship. He says, listen, come bring some of the fish. He had already started cooking the fish and baking the biscuits already. And he said, I got something I want to share this meal with you. I don't know about you. Have you ever had like an argument with somebody? I'd just be interested to feel like, see what this meal was like. Have you ever been like argued with your spouse or yelled at your kids or had some argument at work with somebody and then you end up sitting at the same table? You know, like, or you leave home, or you, before work, you got into it with your wife, and then you come home for dinner, and then everybody got to sit around the same table. What is that meal like? It's kind of quiet, isn't it? It's like that awkward moment. And I can imagine it was kind of an awkward moment for Peter, because Peter, his last opportunity to stand for Jesus, he blew it. You know, Jesus said, you're going to deny me, and Peter did. He denied him three times before the rooster crowed. And in Luke, it says Jesus looked at him, and their eyes caught, and this, Peter's his heart just went to his stomach. And that's the last time, you know, he had an opportunity to really, really talk with him that way. And so when he sees him, can you imagine what that meal was like? And Jesus is there. I think Jesus said, look, I want to have fellowship with you. In a way, he's letting Peter know it's all right. Peter, I know you dropped the ball, but I knew you were going to drop the ball anyway. That's why I had to go through the cross. For all of y'all going to drop the ball. Every man has dropped the ball. All of y'all have fallen short of my glory. And so I want to let you know, I still love you, and I still got a plan for you. And if you want to experience breakthrough, what you got to do, you got to receive the refreshing nature of his restoration and forgiveness. You know, sometimes when we drop the ball, we get wallowed in guilt, and it causes us to run from Jesus. When you should be running to Jesus. Today, if you're watching me, I don't know where you dropped the ball, but that guilt sometimes can cause you, can wedge a gap between you and the Savior. And I'm here to tell you, you know, I don't know. I'm so glad that Jesus is not like us. You know, when my wife and I, we have a disagreement, sometimes she don't even want to talk to me, or I may not want to talk to her. But guess what? Our Savior's not like that. When I mess up, he's inviting me. He's inviting me back into fellowship with him. He said, listen, come to me, all you who are laboring and are burdened and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wants to restore you today. But in order, that restoration is available, but you got to receive it. So the master is sitting over there, and he tells them, cast that net on the other side. And they pull in a big old haul of fish, and he's letting them know, until you do what I tell you to do, you'll never be fruitful. Their catch was not fruitful until the master told them what to do. So you go back to what you're used to and don't do what the master tells you to do. You're not going to be fruitful. But he's letting them know, I'm here. I'm waiting for you. I want to restore you. But unless you receive it, you'll still be wallowing in that guilt. If you want a breakthrough today, I'm here to tell you, he's inviting you. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you may have dropped the ball. There may be an area of your life where you have failed. You have denied the master. In some area of your life, you were supposed to take a stand for him and you didn't. And you walked away from church because of it. You walked away from Christians because of it. You walked away and said, God, because of the guilt, I don't want to be a hypocrite. God said, no, I've already forgotten what you can't forget. I'm inviting you to come back in. Now, come on in and sup with me. Come and dine with me. If you want to experience a breakthrough in your life today, a breakthrough after your failure, a breakthrough of his forgiveness, won't you receive the refreshment of his restoration? The refreshment of his forgiveness today. Look at the passage, what he says right here. I love it. He says, bring some of the fish. He said, let's go to verse 13. Now come and have some breakfast. I prepared a table for you. I know you messed up, but I still got something for you. Won't you receive that refreshing today? If you want to experience the breakthrough, number one, you got to refuse to let your failures lead to you to a fallback. But number two, you got to receive his restoration and his forgiveness today. After you've received that refreshing and forgiveness, the next thing you got to do, number three, let's look at verse 15. See, he sits them down. He served them the bread and the fish. And they're eating. It may have been a quiet meal. It may have been a meal with a whole lot of small talk. And Peter's like, oh, I hope the Lord don't bring it up. I hope he don't bring it up. I hope he don't bring it up. In verse 15, come on, let's see. He doesn't bring it up directly. What he says, after the breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? You know, let's just stop there. He said, do you love me more than these? You know, there's a lot of different views on what he means by love me more than these. He could have been saying, do you love me more than these other disciples? And all of these men were committed to Christ, but Peter was the one who was the one who boasted of his love that, you know what, I love you so much, Jesus, that I'll never leave you. So he could have been saying, Simon, is your love more than everybody else's here? Or could he have been saying, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? What do you mean? Do you love me more than this fishing job? Do you love me more than these 153 fish that you caught? Meaning, is your commitment to me more than what that job that you went back to? Because you know, I did call you to be a fisher of men. I called you out of this job and gave you a purpose, gave you a mission, gave you a ministry. Do you love me more than that? Either way, what it is calling is, it's a call to commitment. And Jesus today is asking you, and he's asking me, listen, do you love me with a love and a level of devotion that exceeds anything and anyone else in your life? And so what does he say here? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I find it interesting also the word for love. The Bible has several different ways that the word love is expressed. There's something called the agape love, which is the unconditional God-type love. And then you have phileo love, which is a love between brothers, between friends. Then you have the eros love. It's the erotic love, the more sensual and sexual love. And here Jesus says, Simon, do you agape me more than these? And Simon says, yes, Lord. I mean, Peter replies, yes, Lord, you know I love you like a brother. You know I love you. And he says, Simon, well, if you love me, then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. See, the third thing that you got to do, the third thing after that you refuse to allow your failures to lead to a fallback, then you receive the restoration and forgiveness of God. Then not only that, you got to, number three, renew your commitment to love and serve him. Renew your commitment to love and serve him. Jesus asked him, Simon, do you agape me? Do you love me more than these? Do you have a love for me more than anyone or anything else? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And then he says it again. Then he says, feed my lambs. He said, well, if you love me, I'm going to reiterate it. We said in Luke 5, I gave you a mission. I said, you're going to be fishers of men. I'm launching you into a new ministry. He said, if you love me more than these, then I want you to do what? Feed my young lambs. I'm launching you back. I want you to serve me. If you love me, I want you to serve me. Jesus told him. Then Jesus repeated the question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And then he says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. In verse 17, a third time, he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? This time, Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. You see, just like Jesus knew Peter would deny him, Jesus knew, he knew Simon's heart. He knew it then. But a lot of times, I love, because Peter had denied him three times. And I believe that what Jesus was doing right here, that number three in the scripture is a number of completion, a number of wholeness. It represents wholeness. He gave him three opportunities to reaffirm and to renew his commitment to love and serve him. And if you want to experience a breakthrough, see, that was for Peter to do, because Peter was wallowing in guilt. His guilt had caused him to fall back into what he was used to. He had walked away from the ministry and the commission God had put on his life to go back to what was comfortable and what was unproductive and what he was used to. And God said, I got something greater for you. Simon, do you love me? And he asked Simon that question, and Simon said, yes, three times, to reaffirm, to renew that commitment to love and serve him. And today, if you want to experience a breakthrough in your life, it's going to come with you renewing your commitment to love and serve him. You may have dropped the ball. You may have failed. You may have messed up. But guess what? Peter did it. He said it was a public mess up. People saw it. And so God, Jesus gives him the opportunity. I love it. Jesus gives him the opportunity publicly in front of all of his homies to reaffirm his commitment to the master. He said, yep, you blew it publicly. You know what? I'm going to get you right publicly. I'm going to give you an opportunity to show, tell everybody, yep, I love you more than these. Today, if you want to go and recognize that your failures are never final, if you want to experience a breakthrough after you've dropped the ball, number one, I want you to do this. Please, please do not allow your failure to lead you to fall back to what's comfortable. Let he who began a good work in you, he will complete the work. Yep, you may have dropped the ball, but God ain't done with you yet. He wants you to dust yourself off. It reminds me of the young prodigal son. He failed. He messed up bad. He disappointed the father, but he had to come to himself and return to the father's house. Today, God's calling you to return, and he doesn't want you to settle. Today, wherever you are, you may be in a rut. You may be going back to a job. You may have gone back to something that you're used to. It could be a relationship that you were comfortable in. You know God called you out of that, but you messed up, so you've gone back to something that you're used to. God said, I got to reaffirm it. I'm going to go back. I'm going to call you right where I met you and say, look, I'm coming back to give you another opportunity. I'm so glad that we serve a God, not of a second chance, but of another chance. And he's today calling you, giving you another chance to restore you, to use you so you can experience breakthrough. Listen, refuse to settle for the fallback. Refuse to settle for the fallback. But then also you got to receive, in order for you to do that, you got to receive his forgiveness and his restoration. That's what he wants to do. He wants to restore you. He wants to refresh you. Just like he invited Peter to come and dine with me. He said, I know you messed up. Peter's sitting there and dripping wet, embarrassed and all that he'd done. He said, look, I've already forgotten what you can't forget, Peter. I knew you were going to mess up before you messed up. Aren't you glad that we serve a God like that? That's one of the things that encourages my heart, that my God knew I was going to mess up before I messed up, and he's still inviting me to come to the table. He's inviting you. Why don't you come to the table so he can restore you today? And then finally, once you said, listen, I receive his forgiveness, now he wants you to renew that commitment. Reaffirm your love and devotion to the master so that he can now launch you into your purpose and you can experience breakthrough. Today, as I close, I don't know what it is. I don't know where it is that you've fallen in your life. I don't know what the failure is. I don't know. It could be a business. It could be, like I said, a ministry. It could be in a relationship, and it's caused you to go back. God wants you to experience breakthrough. He doesn't want you to fall back today. I want to pray with you and encourage you so that you could today experience the breakthrough that God wants for your life. Can we pray together? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for being a God of another chance. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, God, who are under the sound of my voice watching me today. Somebody has failed miserably. And the guilt is weighing on him. Lord, just like Peter, Peter made the proclamation and he declared that he would stand for you. And Lord God, we've committed our lives to you and said we would stand for you. And when it got hot, Lord God, when the pressure got on, we succumbed to the pressure. And there's somebody today, God, who succumbed to the pressure and failed and did not stand for you and has denied you in some area of their life. They're saying, God, I feel so guilty. Can you ever use me again? Lord, wherever they are, whatever they have fallen back to, let them know that you want to restore them today. Lord, let them receive your love and your forgiveness. Lord, let them know that's the reason why you came. That's the reason why Christ came, to die, Lord, for our mess ups, every last one of them. And I pray that we'll receive that restoration and forgiveness today. And not only that, that we will proclaim, that we will renew our commitment to love you and to serve you with our lives and to do what it is you've called us to do, to walk in the purpose that you've designed for us. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, final thing is this. If you're watching me and I said you want to walk in the purpose God has designed for you, I'm going to tell you one purpose that God designed and made all of us for, he made us to be in a relationship with him. You know, God made you to love you and to be in personal relationship with him. But that relationship with God was broken because of something called sin. Sin just simply means to fall short of God's standard. God is perfect, he's holy, he's without imperfection, and I'm going to tell you, me and you, we're not. We fall, we mess up. And the God of the universe, who made you and I to be in a relationship with him, said, look, I want you so bad, but I'm perfect and you're not. And the two cannot come together. He said, look, our God sits in inapproachable light. He said, he's light, and in him there's no imperfection. There's no darkness at all. So the two of us could never come together because there's this big gulf between God and man, and it's a gulf created by our sin, our disobedience to him. But God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should never perish but have everlasting life. Look, that gulf is there, but God said, I want to bridge that gap. I want to make a way to bridge the gap between God and man, between me and my creation, so that I can restore them to a relationship with me. And God established it. Look, sin has to be paid for because he's a just God. Sin must be paid for. And the only way that God has established for any sin to be paid for is with blood being shed. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. So what God did, he became man, the perfect man, God in the flesh. He came to this earth and he lived so that he can identify with you and I in every area. And he never sinned so that he could qualify to be a perfect sacrifice for all of mankind. And he allowed us, mankind, to beat him, abuse him, shed his blood, kill him, so that he could be the sacrifice to pay for our sins, so that we can move from death to life. So we can move from being eternally separated from God to eternally in fellowship with God. But he said, in order for you to do that, you got to believe, you got to receive the gift. And if you'd like to receive that gift that he's offered to you today, the gift of salvation, the gift to have your sins forgiven, number one, you got to admit to God that you're imperfect. You got to admit and say, God, yep, I'm a sinner. I've fallen short of your glory. I have not done everything right. Admit to him that. Then you got to believe that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross to be the payment for your sins. You got to believe that he died and that he was buried. He rose again to justify you, meaning to make you right with God. And then final thing, it's like ABC, C, choose to invite him to come into your life to be your substitute. Confess to God, yep, I want to confess you as Lord of my life. Come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and make me who you want me to be. If you'd like to do that so that you can be in the purpose he designed for you, which is a relationship with him, have all of your sins forgiven, to know that, have the assurance that he will give you eternal life and then give you a life purpose and meaning right here on earth, I want you to pray with me this simple prayer. It's an ABC. Just say this to God. Say, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me, just for me. I believe he was buried and he rose again. And today I invite you to come into my heart, come into my life, and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if that prayer expressed the desire of your heart and you prayed that, please, I want to know. I want to help you grow. I want to help you in your relationship with God. So could you do this? I beg of you. If you prayed that prayer, if that prayer expressed the desire of your heart, just send us a message. Text the word next, meaning I want to know what to do next, N-E-X-T, and text it to 301-804-2520. We want to get some information to you to help you grow. All right, man, God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being with us today. I pray you were encouraged and let you know your failure is not final. God's got a plan for you. And you know where that you can walk in breakthrough. You can experience breakthrough. Whenever you encounter his presence, you'll discover your purpose and experience his power in your life. Look forward to seeing you next Sunday. God bless you.